Right, are we ready for God's word this morning? All right, let's open our Bibles to the book of Titus, chapter 2, please. The book of Titus, chapter 2. We're going to find out how relevant the scripture is to our everyday lives, all right? Titus, chapter 2, and just going to read one verse of scripture, though we're going to kind of interrupt a thought, a pattern of thought that Paul the Apostle had going on here. Is this, he writes to Titus, one of his mentored children in the Lord. Titus chapter 2. Here he's speaking of the family, speaking of women, he's speaking of men, he's speaking of the husbands, wives, young women, children. He speaks of servants. He speaks of all these kind of different people in that culture, and he gives an exhortation to all of them, all right? So if you have your Bibles open to Titus chapter 2, it's right after the book of 2 Timothy, Titus 2. Let's just jump into verse 10. Not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Notice that thought, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior. The New International Version says that they may make the teaching of God what? Attractive. Thank you. That they might. Now listen, stop and think of that thought. We can make the gospel more attractive. Let's pray. Gracious Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for a blessed service thus far. And we pray, Lord, that this second balance of the hour or the balance of this moment together will be no exception, Lord. We thank you, Father, for your precious word. Through it, we find gems that speak to us in our lives. And we're ever so thankful for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Alrighty, I'm gonna point your attention to the slide up here to the screen. Who is that, ladies and gentlemen? Mila Kunis. I believe she's either dating or married to Ashton Kutcher, right? Now look at the right part. Doesn't she look like an ordinary New York girl? And the left one, she's all dolled up, looks like a supermodel. Next slide. Angelina Jolie, right side, looks like an ordinary chick, a pretty one. And look at the left one. She looks like a megawatt superstar, doesn't she? Next one. J-Lo, look at the left one. Looks like any girl on the street, doesn't it? Look at the right one. Wow. Next one. This is Sofia Vergara, or as we say in Spanish, Vergara. Sofia Vergara, on the right without makeup, ordinary gal, to the left with, she's all dolled up. So now let me ask this question, first to the ladies. Ladies, how important is makeup? Which of you ladies, by a show of hands, now I hope you can play well with me this morning. Don't be resistant. Who all would agree with me, ladies, that you're thankful for makeup? Just the ladies. Thank you. Thank you for your honesty. All right, let's ask the men. Men, how many of y'all are thankful for your ladies' makeup? Only Brother John, Bob, and myself. Okay, all of you guys, what, are you fearing you're going to get beat up or something?
Wear makeup.
She doesn't wear makeup. Some ladies don't have to wear makeup. That was a nice recovery, right, Scott?
Yes. This kind of made it worse for all the others, though.
I did make it worse for all the others. All right, so what does makeup have to do with the scripture we read? All right, now if you're writing notes, take this down, because it's a very, very important thought. And I want to entitle the message by calling it this, putting the makeup on the gospel. Putting the makeup on the gospel. All right, now the Greek word for making attractive or adorning is the Greek word cosmeo, C-O-S-M-E-O, long O. cause male, from which we get our English language cosmetics. How interesting is that? So the verse, in essence, is saying to us that we should be putting the makeup on the message. We can and we should make the message of our God more attractive. That's pretty interesting, isn't it? That is an ennobling thought, because we all believe, all of us Bible-believing Christians in this sanctuary, we believe that the message in itself is perfect, right? That it is good, that it is God-ordained, it is God-breathed, it is God-inspired, it is the authoritative, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Amen. Yoo-hoo. Amen? Amen? Right? We believe that, but then the Bible itself says we can make it even prettier to others. Not only can we are to make the message more attractive by putting the makeup on the message. Right? Ladies, you all know, those of you who wear makeup, you all know that makeup kind of removes, it does a couple of things. I'm not a cosmetologist, so I can't tell you all the things it does. But I've seen enough programs of what not to wear, and I've seen Miss Carmody put doll up all these ladies. Who's ever watched What Not to Wear? But Carmody is a lady that puts the makeup on, and when she puts the makeup on these ladies, they're prettier than what the makeup that they used to wear, or if they had no makeup, it makes their features just pop. It accentuates, number one, it removes the blemishes from the face, right? And number two, it accentuates their beautiful features. So makeup is meant to make the beauty, the inherent beauty that is in a woman, to make it stand out even better, right? The Bible says avoid the appearance of evil, so we thank God for makeup. All right. I feel like I'm just digging myself a hole. I mean, my daughter's going like, geez, Dad. What's that?
With the bathtub.
Wow, that's pretty dire. I'm like a guy in one of those World War II planes. Mayday, mayday. Let's get this train back on track. All right, let's just, Joe, just stick. Yes, sir.
Yeah, there was a man speaking one time, and he said, "Any old barn looks a little better with paint."
I like that. I'm going to quote Brother Bob. Thank you for that save, brother. I see that raft. I'm going to cling to that raft, and that's all I'm going to say. Any old barn looks better with just a little bit of paint, right? Thanks for that. I owe you, buddy. So we can make the message more attractive, listen, by how we live. That's the instruction that Paul is sending to all these husbands, these wives, these children, these servants, these employers, these masters, these employees, servants, etc., etc. By how we live, you and I put the makeup on the message. How important is that? Church family, how important? Please understand, you know, I'm going to quote an age-long saying that all of us, I'm sure all of us in here, have heard many times over. And that is, to some people, we are the only Bible some will ever read. Am I correct on that? And so, what if they're looking at our lives and they're seeing stuff that they don't like? I mean, we can, you know, let me qualify this by saying that we all have a mercy umbrella, because none of us are perfect. All have sinned, Romans 3:10, and fall short of the glory of God. Let me be clear about this. I fall short of God's glory on a daily basis. We all fall short of God's glory on a daily basis. Can I hear a hearty amen on that?
Amen.
But how many of y'all know that His grace covers us?
Amen.
Amen for that. Thank God for that. Now, But what do other people, but if we're the only Bibles they read, what are they reading about God through our lives? Are they reading that God is judgmental? That God is harsh? That God is strict? That God is buttoned up? That God is a no fun type of God? It's gotten really quiet. Is by the way we live our lives, are we telling the people that God is loose, God doesn't care about morals, that God doesn't care about principles, that God's laws don't matter, that we can fudge on the corners and it's going to be okay? Is that what we're telling people? What kind of example, what kind of makeup are we putting on this message? Ladies, what happens when a woman puts excessive amounts of cheap makeup on?
They don't look good.
They don't look good. It cheapens the look on that woman, doesn't it? Well, do you think that maybe we can put on too much makeup and make God seem to be cheap and not holy and no holy standard and no moral standard and His commandments don't matter? Yoo-hoo. Right? Can I get a witness, please? I know it's gotten super quiet. Everybody was like, ho, 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 ha, ha, ha. And I was like, oh, boy. See, my family, because it is important that we look at our lives. Now, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but and I'll tell you how this works, but I want to stress the importance. I'm sure we all are aware of the importance of what we communicate about God. What did Jesus say about the traditions of man? They make the word of God of how much effect? You haven't read that scripture? Of no effect. Jesus told the Pharisees, your traditions, the traditions of men, have made my word of no effect. Now, can we touch on this? Can we talk about the traditions of men? How many of us know that often the traditions of men don't square with the word of God? And they rob the word of God of its power. So let me ask, is that the kind of makeup we're putting on the message, is the traditions of men? Well, I've never heard that before, or I wasn't taught that, or, you know, by George, it can't be true because I've never heard it. I wish I had a dollar. I'm telling you what, if I had a dollar for every time I heard that in the last 30 years of ministry, a full-time ministry, I'm telling you what, I'd have a pretty decent investment. Cynthia and I could probably fly to Ireland with that money. For real. Well, I've never heard that, but what's that saying? You know, when people kind of balk at what you're trying to teach from the Word of God and they say, well, I've never heard that before. So does that mean that you're the authority, you've read all the Bible, you understand every single chapter and every single verse of the Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, and because you've never heard it, then it must not be true? For real? Come on, church family, can we have a little humility? I'll tell you what, let me talk about some makeup that will make the message very attractive. Number one, humility. There is no room for know-it-alls in the kingdom of God, especially when it comes to unbelievers. Can I get a witness, please? Right? Humility is a great... I'll tell you what humility is for our spiritual faces. It is foundation. Humility. You know what I've heard evangelism be? It is one beggar telling the other beggar where they found bread. Right? In this case, spiritually, it is one spiritual beggar telling another spiritual beggar where they have found the bread of life. Humility goes a long way, baby. Humility goes a long way. And humility isn't all about, or pride isn't always about beating your chest and saying, you know, look at me, look at me, look at me. Sometimes it is an unbending, inflexible, rigid attitude towards unbelievers. Because how many of us know that people don't care how much you know until they first know how much you what?
Care.
It's pretty simple, right, Brother Law? We complicate things. It's pretty simple. People love humble people, right? So that's a great one. Number two is joy. Joy looks good on believers, doesn't it? I think it's Psalm 133 that says, joy is comely on the upright, or praise is comely. So what are they hearing from us? What do unbelievers hear from us? Are they hearing complaint? Or I can't hardly wait to get out of this evil world, get out of this demonically ruled world. Well, baby, don't you think we're in the world for a reason? We're in the world, but not of it. We are here to reconcile the world to Jesus. Hello.
Amen.
And let's quit trying to escape at every possible turn. You know, we're here so that we can be the light and the salt that Jesus has called us to be. Right? Far too many believers are willing, they're ready to pull the ripcord on, you know, I'm ready to jump off this plane and I'm ready to parachute into heaven. Well, who doesn't want to be in heaven? But we're here for a purpose. So joy. Do they see? I love what you said, Brother Scott, about the smile on our faces. Smiles are contagious. Do we smile? Do we have joy? You know, sometimes I know I've kind of make a fool of myself by making these videos on Facebook and singing myself. But you know what? That's my way of saying, you know what? The devil doesn't have one up on me. No matter how life is looking, I'm still singing, baby. Are you letting the enemy steal the song from your heart? How many of us know that the unbelievers don't want to hear us continually grinding axes? Yoo-hoo. Listen, what we need to be sharing is the goodness of God, the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God. Can I get a witness, please? Right? And the truth of God. Let the word speak. Let the word stand. Let the words of Jesus speak to them and convict them. Listen, baby, I've learned a long time ago, listen, it is God the Father's job to judge. It is Jesus the Son's job to save. It is the Holy Spirit's job to convict. It is my job and your job to love. All right, turn with me, if you would please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We're not done yet. Everybody good? Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to read one verse and then we're going to turn to a different set of scriptures. Notice, but we all, verse 18, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a what? In a mirror, the glory of the Lord. Notice, as we behold the glory of the Lord as in a mirror, what's happening to us? We are being transformed into that same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. I love that. Ladies, have you ever put makeup on without the mirror? I mean, I've seen ladies driving down the freeway.
Oh, yeah.
With a little thing, those little visors, you know, and they have it down and they're driving 65 mile an hour on a 55 mile an hour and they're going to town with the lashes, you know, they're here they are and part of their knee is steering the wheel and I'm thinking, how do they do that? Did they pull you aside in kindergarten and say, you know, one of these safe ladies, this information is going to be helpful for you? Called multitasking 101. But man, they are going to town. I remember one time I was out with Kelly and she was driving her van and I was in the passenger seat. I don't think I've ever told you guys this. And we were at a stoplight and I was feeling a little ornery that night. You know, thank God I don't do as much of what I used to do. But anyway, and there was this gal. She had her car on stop because of the red light on the traffic light, and she's going to town with her makeup. So I lowered my window and I said, "You look marvelous, darling." She said, "You look good too, baby." And then Kelly was like, "Why are we doing this?" I said, "Why not?" The point is, we need a mirror. Ladies need a mirror for makeup putting on. If you want to put it on correctly. Right, ladies? Right, ladies? Thank you. Go with me to James chapter 1. Let's look at a different mirror. If you found it, I'm going to jump into verse 22 of James 1. Notice, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So what happens when we hear the word of God but don't put it into practice? Who are we fooling? Are we fooling our neighbors? Are we fooling God? Are we fooling our spouses? Are we fooling our significant others? Are we fooling our children? Who are we fooling? Ourselves. Verse 23, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a what?
Mirror.
For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Now, let's stop there. Now, I'm thankful for mirrors because I'm going to reveal some of my personal hygiene habits with you. Because when I look in the mirror, I'm thinking, oh gosh, I need to shave, and I have an ingrown hair here. Maybe I'm not shaving in the right direction. Or I'll look and I'm, oh gosh, I need to buy something for these blackheads. I know it's terrible. I've got a pimple here. I see my blemishes. Because gentlemen, how many of us know that when we look in the mirror, we don't see Brad Pitt reflecting back? Terry, you're like, well, depends on what day of the week, right? Humility goes a long way, brother. Or you ladies, you don't see Angelina Jolie looking back at you. What do you see? Your natural face. Your natural face. I see blemishes in my natural face. So I've got little tweezers there. I've got those little small little scissors to trim my nose hair. I remember once when I was in college, I'll tell you, I know. It's you never how many of y'all know that Locust Grove Church is like a box of chocolates? You never know what you're gonna get. Now it's a preacher's nose hairs. I remember when I was in college, my roommate, I had looked and I saw my nose hairs growing a little too long, but I didn't pay attention. He's like, Joe, I need to talk to you. He said, you might want to get some small scissors and cut those little nose hairs. They're growing way too long. Well, okay. I never forgot that. So I'm like the guy looking in a mirror. Listen. This Greek word, where it says he observes himself, it is the Greek word kataneo, which means to look intently, and carefully. So when I'm looking at my face in the mirror, I'm looking intently. I'm like, yeah, I need to do something about this. I need to do something about that. But how many of y'all know if I don't go to the store and buy some stuff for my face, I'm not doing anything about it, right? I'm just looking intently. My lovely girlfriend told me about buying a loofah? What's a loofah good for, hon? For dead skin. There you go. So she's, I'm gonna get that loofah. Do guys use loofahs too? All right, thank you. See, all right. Now, anyway, let's get spiritual. Now, so I look at my face intently. I notice what's wrong with my face, but that's all I'm doing. Notice, let's keep reading on. Buckle up. That's all I got to say. It's all fun and games. Here we go. Notice, verse 24, but he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Verse 25, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, everybody say continues in it, and is not a what kind of hearer? Forgetful hearer, but is a what? Doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. That Greek word looks is not the same Greek word kataneo. It is the Greek word parakupto, which means this, to bend, to stoop into something, to lean forward and to do something about it. So if I'm going to do something about my blemishes, I usually lean into the mirror. How many of you ladies lean into a mirror when you're primping it, or curling it, or stuffing it, or primping it? Did I get him? Does that about cover everything? All right, see, I'm more observant than you think. All right, so I'm normally, when I'm looking at my blemishes, I'm kind of going like this, leaning into the mirror, or I'm kind of going like this, or I'm kind of going like washing my face like this. I've got to lean in because I'm doing something about it. Now, what's the point? Listen, if you're going to put the makeup on the gospel of Jesus Christ, baby, you got to look in the mirror. Is that plain enough? We got to look in the mirror and not just look to see the blemishes, but look to do something about our blemishes. Can I get a witness in the house? Because as we continue to behold in that mirror, we're slowly being transformed into the image of our Savior, aren't we? Glory by glory, faith to faith, strength to strength, a little here, a little there, a little here, a little there, a little here, a little there. Before you know it, you know, people won't recognize you. Find yourself today, they're going to say, you know, you're more patient than you've ever been. You're kinder than you've ever been. You're nicer than you've been. You're more forgiving. You're more loving. I don't see the edges as much. You're not as edgy. You're not as harsh. You're more patient. You're more gentle. Yoo-hoo. Are those not qualities of Jesus? So, if ladies, if you're going to put on the makeup, you got to look in the mirror. Men, if we're going to get rid of those blemishes on our face, we got to look in the mirror. Hello. That's how we start to put the makeup on the message. All right, how many of y'all were blessed with the teaching of God's Word this morning? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for this time together in your Word. Father, your Word speaks to us in many different ways. I thank you, Lord God, for helping us to correct the blemishes on our natural face. Father, to do something so that we might reflect more and more of Jesus, and in so doing, we're putting the makeup on the message. Thank you, Lord God, for your goodness. Thank you for your faithfulness to us. Thank you, Lord God, for loving us the way you do. I pray that you would help us remember this message on a daily basis. In Jesus' name, amen.